Welcome to Enneagram with JB, a podcast about Enneagram personalities, where you'll uncover and discover more about yourself and others through the helpful tool of the Enneagram. I'm your host, Julie Underwood. So today, we're going to be talking about healthy rhythms, Enneagram numbers, and why the wings make a difference. So Jackie, how are you feeling about the kids being back in school?
It is wonderful. So all I have left is the twins, and they started high school this year. But I know it's kind of this very weird feeling, though, with the babies being in high school, because it's like 4 more years and we'll be empty nesters-ish. You know, I don't really know how that's going to work. But it does feel super weird, like, to know that this is the end of that part of parenting anyways. And so trying to savor all the time with them. So it's like bittersweet. Like, I'm super glad that they're back because I like the rhythms and I like routines. I like predictability. And then there's like, my house is really quiet, you guys, you know, and my husband travels a lot. And so it's me and the dog, and it's kind of boring as a 7.
You need to have a girls' night or something.
Days. I need people during the day because they come home at night. It's during the day.
I used to feel like that too when I had little ones at home. I wanted girls days, like coffee breaks or things like that. I didn't want to do anything at night because I was exhausted. And I kind of feel like that now. I'm kind of over it at night. I don't want to leave. It messes up the whole night routine. But can someone come over at like 11 and hang out with me? That'd be great.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I do. We do a lot of dinners and things like that because of business for my husband. So I feel like our nights are kind of all over the place, and I don't love that. I've always been so routine ever since the twins were born. I think I had to be with 4 of them at home and a husband that traveled. It was just very predictable. Like, all my friends would say that. Like, you've always been really predictable, which I think that people don't think that about Enneagram 7s, but you and I both like predictability. So, you know, we like some spontaneous in it too, but I like to know what to expect.
We had your husband on, Steve, who is an Enneagram 3 with a 4 wing a few weeks ago. And then last week, if you guys have been listening, we had Tyler from Red Rocks Worship on, and he is a 3 with a 2 wing. And do you find it as interesting as I did that they are so different? Even though they're both Enneagram wing or Enneagram 3s, their wings are completely different. And the interviews went so differently.
They really did. Yes. Yeah, they really did. Julie gets to see like the front end of the interviews too before we actually hit record. And so, you know, some of them are easier than others. And Steve and I sometimes have a little bit of a hard time. My husband, people know him as Brewster. Sometimes we have a hard time like getting in sync with each other because we are like both in the assertive type. So I'm a 7, he's a 3. So we kind of stand independently and can push against. And we both have our own businesses and all this kind of stuff. So I definitely felt some of the tension in that was a little bit different than with Tyler, who is a 3 with a 2 wing, and he is much more relational. So he is, you know, he's warmer in some ways, even though I think that people that work with my husband think he's very relational and very, very warm. There were some differences though, didn't you think?
Yeah, Tyler was much more willing to give information. You know, like he was so like, yeah, here, I'll tell you about all the things, all my struggles, all of my whatever. Whereas like Brewster just holds it a little closer to the chest, which is totally fine. I have a husband who's very similar. So he holds everything very close to the chest. I used to think that was like a mystery. That was probably something like when we were dating, I was like, oh, he's so mysterious. When really I'm like, oh, he's just an introvert that doesn't want to share his life.
Okay, so your husband is a 5, although I think at this age, he identifies pretty strong 6 wing.
He does. Yeah. He's like, she's wrong. I'm a 6. And I'm like, you're still a 5.
So 5 with a pretty good 6 wing, but the younger version of him, I've known your husband for a long time.
Yeah. Like high school, right? Or like right out of high school?
Like 20 plus years. And so the younger him probably did lean into that 4 a little bit more. My husband is a 3 with a 4 wing now. Okay. But I could see the younger years him leaning into that 2 a little bit more.
Okay.
But what's funny is what you said about the four, that mysterious piece, that mystery. That four often has that element to them, that feeling of mystery, being a little bit different, withdrawing, retreating, leaving people guessing. I work with an Enneagram four that's one of those things we're trying to break. Like, being mysterious in your 20s is one thing. In your 30s, it's getting a little bit more difficult. In your 40s, now you just look like a jerk. You know, it's like that mysterious piece.
Yeah, you got to give people something.
Yeah, it doesn't always, you know, sit well as you keep going on an age. And I'm not saying that fours are jerks by any means. I'm not saying that. But there's parts of all of our personality that worked when we were younger that doesn't serve us as well as we get older.
Yes.
It's kind of like when I'm going clothes shopping, my husband and I, and I want him to be in, like, I want him to wear the trends. I want him so cargo pants are in this season, and I'm excited about it, and he is not excited about it.
For you or for him?
For him and me, girl. Yeah, whatever. You got to get in that fit right and all that good stuff. But
yeah.
So we're going into the store, and I'm having him try things on, and it is that, like, what works for the 20-30s doesn't necessarily work for him anymore, because if he wears it, now he looks like his grandfather. Yeah. You know, and it's the same with us women. Like, the trends that used to work don't work anymore. We have to adapt them. We have to change some things about them. We don't throw all of it away. So, you know, Steve got this great pair of cargo pants, but they're not the super, super wide legs. They're like, they fit perfect. So we had to adapt. So it's kind of like that, like with the wings, they can help us adapt as we get older, but we have to be aware of what's going on. So that mysterious piece, you're right, for an Enneagram four or somebody with a wing with a four, that can be intriguing, and then it can be annoying.
Right? Yeah. Just tell me what you're thinking. I don't know.
Yeah. Spoken by the wives. So interesting though, how different they are. And then you and I, we're both sevens, and I'm a seven with an eight wing, and you're a seven with a six wing. And there's some similarities, and then there's some really big differences in you and I.
Yeah. Even how we beached, like, when we met at the beach a few weeks ago, and like, you're like, let's play the games, let's do this. And I like sat my butt down in the chair, and I'm like, I'm good. I feel good about this. Like, this is fine. And you're like, no, let's do this. Let's do this. And I just kind of sat back and I was like, we are so different.
Uh-huh.
It's super funny. Because yeah. People would meet us and be like, oh my gosh, they're like totally the same. I'm like, we just do things different. But that's, and I think in groups, like, I present differently. And that's why I could never figure out my Enneagram number. Because in a group, I can present very like outgoing and da da da. But by myself, my husband would be like, why don't you ever say anything? I'm like, I don't have anything to say. You know, he's like, but you say something to everybody else, you know? So it is interesting to kind of see how that happens.
I mean, Julie is probably one of the funniest people I have ever met in my entire life. Like, really.
Or sarcastic.
Yes, super sarcastic. And what they say a lot about sixes is they're actually great comedians. And so I think that's so funny, because I think that's true with you, with that. It warms, you know, it warms it up. Like, I feel like you're a seven with that six that is a bit warmer. That nurturing side is louder than mine. There's so many different aspects. And then there is the fun, outrageous part that's there. But with my eight is like super drive. My eight is like, let's go, let's do, let's accomplish, let's achieve all these things. And your six kind of downshifts a little bit and is more cautious and relational. I think you're more relational than I am. More relational and, you know, maybe even in the moment more than I am.
I think I always reach out. I try to make everybody feel really comfortable, even to my detriment. You know, I can be a little self-deprecating to get people comfortable or things like that. Some of that could come just from even the job that I did for so long, which was a hairdresser. I wanted to immediately put people at ease. I didn't want them to be stressed out or whatnot. I always taught classes at the salon of, your problems are not their problems. You let them be the focus, and then you take your problem with your boyfriend on the phone in the back, you know? So that was always really important to me. I don't know where that comes from. I'm a middle child. So that could be just like, is everybody happy so I can be at ease? So there probably is a little bit of that.
I think that's part of that 7 personality. Like part of our adjusting growing up was like, if you guys are okay, then I'll figure out how to be okay. So 7s are really resilient, long-suffering. They can figure out how to be okay in the midst of really not, you know, not good circumstances. They can really try, you know, they can figure it out. And so I think that part of that resiliency is your 7-ness that shines through, and then the more cautious side of a 6.
For sure. Yeah, people wouldn't know like what a grandma I am behind the scenes. Like I am very like cautious, like be careful, you know, and you know, like do we have enough of that?
She beached, like when they came for a couple hours at the beach, and she came with a wagon full of everything.
Full
of everything. Yes. That you would need. And we vacation on the beach, and so our stuff was already there, so our tent and everything was set up. But I do think our stage of life, like we're kind of close in age. Like I'm a little bit older than you, but kid wise, our stage of life is very different. And so I think that all of this plays a part in how we present according to Enneagram number. And then those wings, man, they really do make such a difference.
That 6 wing came a lot when they were really little. I could pack a mean diaper bag, like I've said before. Like that thing had Band-Aids to Benadryl to like whatever you need. And then snacks coming out of the wazoo. And then as they've gotten older, I'm prepared because they get bored faster or they are fighting, like physically wanting to like fight each other. So I have to like, do we have 2 boogie boards? Do we have 2 this? Do we have 2 of that? And all of it is to create peace for myself. Like it's probably very selfish. Yes, I care if they have fun, but the majority of it is that I want to have fun.
Yes.
So if I'm prepared, I'm having fun and you're, you know, on the sidelines being quiet.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, nope, that's how I pack my cooler at the beach. Like, how can I avoid any frustrations? And, you know, and then I'm married to an Enneagram 3. And so he is like fastest way from point A to point B. So he wouldn't even pack a snack bag or anything like that if he didn't have to. And so kind of like that is harder, you know. Over the years, he's adjusted to that. Like we always make jokes about, like, I've always had snacks in my bag. Like before we ever had kids, I had snacks in my bag and I still do. You know, I'm like, well, if I get hungry, I'm mean. So I should eat.
Yes.
But it is funny how all of us just show up differently, even though we could be the same number.
So talking about the other numbers and their wings, kind of how we saw, you know, Brewster and Tyler and their differences. Talk to us a little bit about the one with the 9 wing. That would be the idealist.
Yeah. So the idealist, the one with the 9, they're going to look a little bit more cooler, more relaxed, introverted, objective. They feel a little bit more detached. Like they're going to be aware of what's expected, but they might withdraw to not be overwhelmed by things. They might be quieter too. So they're not necessarily going to step in and want to be the helper of things. Not that they won't help, but the warmth I think that you feel from a 1 with a 2 feels a bit different because that 1 with a 2 is known as the advocate and they are warmer, helpful, vocal, sensitive. They also can be a bit more fiery and controlling. And so they're the ones that are like moving towards that relationship. Like they're going to move towards people to try to figure out what needs to happen. So they do look very different.
I love that we're going to go through this whole list. So listen for your number and your wing, because I think it's just so helpful sometimes to just hear like a little snippet of like, oh man, that really resonates with me. Or
two, like why are we both 3s, but we look so different? Or why are we both 2s, like we're going to talk about, but we look so different? Because the 2 looks so different. And the 2 with 3 wings sometimes mistypes as a 3 and they're not.
Right. Yeah. They could be really frustrated trying to figure out their Enneagram number and being like, but I'm not this particular characteristic. And I think that's why it took me so long to find my Enneagram number, because I did lean so far into my six that I was like, but I'm not a, like, none of that other stuff resonates with me. I don't care about that. That doesn't hit home. And then the wings really make the difference. So if you're kind of on the fence, you're struggling, really listen to the wings and maybe re-listen to it, because I think the wings really have a lot to say when you're kind of struggling.
Yeah. And we didn't even say this at the beginning, but when we're talking about the Enneagram wings, you guys, we're talking about the numbers to the right and to the left of your dominant number. And so I always think about it like a bird. So if the body of the bird is your dominant number, your wings have to be to the right or left. Okay. So I cannot be a seven with a two wing. You can't be a seven with a nine wing. It doesn't work like that. So just remember, they have to be the numbers to the right and to the left of you.
And one just may feel so wrong and one might feel so right. And sometimes it is a little bit of a mix of both. Like sometimes you're like, oh, but I take the, you know, the confidence from this one over here, but I take the security from this one over here. And they really can be such a beautiful mix. And that's what makes people so individualistic, right? And like, God's done such a good job making everybody who they are in such an interesting blend of who they are. I know sometimes people take the Enneagram and they say like, oh, but it's, you know, it's too specific. It's not enough. And I'm like, but it's not. Like, there's so much information there. It's just a jumping off point. It's a great place to be like, oh yeah, that sounds like me.
Yeah. And it's a tool for awareness. So we're not telling you who you are and asking you to put sticky notes on yourself to identify yourself. We're asking you to become aware of some of these characteristics and patterns and then get curious around the why and where did they come from? That's the work. That's the work I want to do with everybody. So it is not, we don't want to come on here and tell you this is who you are. We want to say, hey, you might be presenting this way. Let's look at the why.
So true. And it is so obvious. And it's kind of a fun game, unless you're really angry at the time, which I was when I was playing the game with myself the other day. And I'm like, why am I throwing things out of the playroom in an angry fashion? And I was like, control. It's control. I've lost all control. And then, you know, the kids are sassing and all the things. And I'm like, I've lost control of my family. So I'm going to control the mess. And it was funny because my husband's like, what is going on with you? I'm like, well, I'm too angry to talk about it right now, but I know exactly what's going on with me. And it was so helpful to take myself down. Whereas I would have just stayed in that angry place for a long time and just raged, you know, in my head of like, oh, so much this and that and da da da. And I was able to be like, this is what's actually happening. I feel completely out of control. So, and summer will do that to you because you are out of control. Like the kids are flying all over the place and doing all their things and you have no control.
No. And I think you begin to take things personal that are not personal. And so this tool helps you to gain awareness around your own patterns. It's a personal journey. So it's not about other people. It's not about whatever your husband did or your kids did that made you react that way. You were able to grab a hold of your reaction and say, I feel out of control right now. Like, I need to calm myself down before I can have a conversation, but I know what this is. And that's the work. That is, if you are doing the work around self-awareness, that's the place that you guys get to and will continue to grow through, is that right there. It's beautiful work, but it does take time. It takes a long time. This isn't like, I'm going to read something about myself and change. No, you're not. You have to actually activate the information to change. So as you know, we look in these wings, we're just giving you a little bit of a snapshot into maybe what helps round out your personality a little bit more.
I love that. Well, let's jump back in. Tell us about the two with a one wing.
So the servant, the two with a one wing, they are idealistic, responsible. They can be self-critical. They can even be a little bit more judgmental. There can be a lot of, they can be pretty rigid. I feel like my mom is a two with a one wing and there's like very high standards, or her expectations should be everybody's, you know what I mean? Like she doesn't do this, so everybody shouldn't do this. Or she can get a little bit obsessed about things, or think like her way is the right way around things. And so that judgmental piece can come in, or, you know, the idealistic piece, like this is how we're going to do this, can come into it and make it look a little bit rigid. I know I already said that, but it is this more rigid posture where there is a warmth to them, but there's also an expectation behind it. That looks a little different than the two with three wing, which is like the host or the hostess. I think this is the one that we often think of when we think of the two, like they're charming and flattering, outgoing. They, however, are competitive and ambitious too, because they've got that good three wing that is a driver. So it's like, all of these things, plus I want to be around the people that are in the know. I want to be a part of this because of whatever I want. Like, I want what I want, so I'm going to go after it. So that three wing helps them to move towards the things that they're trying to achieve.
All right. So that was a two with a three wing. Tell us about a three with a two wing. Because that seems like, oh, they should be overlapping, but they're not going to.
Well, a little bit, but different, because the motivations are different. So the Enneagram 2 wants to be loved and wanted. The Enneagram 3 wants to be accepted as they are. But so the Enneagram 2 moves towards people to try to figure this out. The Enneagram 3 pushes against anybody that could possibly reject them. So there's a different dance that happens when it comes to this too. So the Enneagram 3 with the 2, the star, and this was Tyler on our podcast last week. So warm, encouraging, social, they want to be the center of attention. They are success driven. They are achievement minded people, but there's a lot of charm and warmth with a three with a two. So, you know, most of us like to be around a three with a two because of that. Now, the three with the four, which was my husband, which he's more professional. And so that's what they would say, you know, the title, the professional. And that was different because you had said at the beginning that Tyler was more forthcoming with the information, where Brewster was a bit harder to get the information from. Yep. And so the three with the four wing, they're driven. They are great encouragers. They do have good imaginations. They are imaginative people that are introspective. However, they are oftentimes workaholics, and they can even be pretentious because they want to be seen as a certain way. And so, you know, you might see that or sense that from those three with four wings.
So a four, I'm actually listening very closely because my mom is a four and I'm trying to figure out what her little wing is so I can understand her better. So we are going to start with a four with a three wing.
Okay. So a four with a three wing creates with an audience in mind. Okay. They're the aristocrat. They look different. The four with the three, they feel different too. So they're oftentimes more long suffering. You're going to see an extroverted, upbeat component to them, ambitious, concerned with self-image. It feels very three-ish, right? But you got to remember that the Enneagram 4, they want to be seen for their uniqueness. And so they're creating with an audience in mind and putting their you know, whatever out into the world, whether it's art, whether it's music, whether it's whatever they're doing, if they're, you know, in the medical field, whatever this is, they're putting this out into the world and they're looking for validation in that way. So they do tend to be more extroverted, this four with a three wing. Now, the four with a five wing is more bohemian and they create for themselves. So they don't create with an audience in mind. They create for themselves. I feel like they are the more mysterious type here. This is more withdrawn. You know, I don't know that I want other people to speak into what I'm doing here. You know, they're introverted, intellectual, reserved, whimsical. Their creativity might look different. They might even appear detached from the world around them in some ways, especially when they're going into that creative space, which is quite a bit different than the other type.
I can definitely hear my mom in that more. She always had little things going on, that like jewelry making or this over here, or painting or different things. And it was more probably for her stimulation than it was necessarily other people. Now she owned businesses where she would teach classes and things. So she sounds like she had a little bit of both in there. She liked to share her art as well, but I can definitely kind of feel that more. And I would dare say most artists out there have a four somewhere in them. I feel like they lean into wanting to put their feelings out there. And, you know, I feel like we need fours because they feel, right? Like we love a love song or we love a breakup song or whatever. I think Taylor Swift is probably a four with a strong three wing. She's quite an achiever. But, you know, just something where they can put their feelings out there and put words to things. Like not everybody can do that, you know, like they feel so deeply, which is great. We need people who feel, because there's sevens who don't. Sevens who are like, oh, no, thank you. I'm good on feelings. Thanks.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the five with a four wing, the pioneer. Tell us what that means.
The pioneer. So they're creative, sensitive, empathetic. They tend to be withdrawn. They can be self-absorbed because they're involved in what they're doing. They can take ideas and create something new with them. So they want to pioneer something. They want to be on the cutting edge of something. They gather a lot of information to try to figure this out. But they do tend to be a bit more whimsical, fantasy-minded even. And so they see things very interesting and unique through their lens.
Okay.
The five with the six wing looks completely different. They're the problem solvers. They are the people that are math and science focused. They oftentimes, though, are extroverted. They are very, very loyal. They can be pretty anxious, maybe even skeptical at times. But that math and science piece usually distinguishes if you're a five with a four or a five with a six.
Oh,
because it's whimsical, creative, or math and science.
They like the black and whiteness of a math and science. There's one answer. There's one way to get to it.
Let's look at this six wing, or the six with a five wing and the six with a seven wing. So the six with a five wing is the defender. They're more introverted, intellectual, cautious, focused. They can be a bit standoffish. So I can totally see why your husband reads stuff and is like, maybe I'm more six, because he is intellectual and cautious and focused and all those things. So I can see where he would feel that, but the motivation is different.
What is the motivation of a six, Jackie?
They want to be safe and secure. So that's like everything that they do really stems from this place of security.
Yes.
Now the six with a seven wing is known as the buddy. Some people don't really, I know some people don't like that. And, you know, but they're kind, you know, caring people, extroverted. They can be pretty materialistic, sociable, playful, energetic. They can even be impulsive. They've got that good seven wing that's like, let's just try it and see what happens. But they, again, that feels very different. The five wing and the seven wing for a six. I'm raising a six with a seven wing, and she is fun, and she doesn't want to miss out on anything. She wants to be in the know of everything, but then she gets very overwhelmed by the responsibility, you know? So I'm watching that happen, but you know, she's not introverted at all.
I have a son like that too. He's super cautious, super anxious, all the things, but is so social. And I'm like, how can you be anxious and then not come home for 6 hours? Like, how is that possible? You know, like, I want to be home. I want to be comfortable. And he is like a rager. Like, he'll go all day, all night and ask for a sleepover. And I'm like, no, like, nobody can run on this type of energy, but he can't.
Yeah. She's like my girl that's in high school. I mean, she's in college, not high school. In college, she's like that too. It's fun. It's fun to see them. And then you want to help them create healthy rhythms around what this looks like.
Yeah.
Now the seven, we talked about us being so different. So Julie is a seven with a six, the entertainer. So loyal, endearing, responsible, outgoing, relationship oriented, playful, a fair amount of anxiety in that.
Yes.
Does that yeah. sound like you?
Yeah. The anxiety thing I pulled out a few years ago, I told my husband, I have bit my nails since the moment I think I was born. And I was like, hey, I think I struggle with anxiety. And he's like, yeah, you think? Like, you haven't, you like bite your nails to the stubs, you twirl your hair, you do all these things. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. I think I thought anxiety looked like somebody in a corner, hold up, like not being able to go outside. Like I saw anxiety in other personalities, and I did not relate to that. But the anxiety of just that low hum of like an electric energy in you all the time doesn't necessarily give me motivation, but it's like just a low hum.
That is true across the board for seven. So whether you're a seven with a six or seven with an eight, anxiety exists inside of this number. However, we typically mask it with noise, with busyness, with doing, with just distraction, because we had to learn how to self-soothe really early on. So we learned to just kind of accept it as like, this is just who I am. Like, I just bite my nails. Like, what? Doesn't everybody bite their nails? No, you know, or I have to go to bed with TV on. Like, I still do. Even all the work that I've done, I don't like the racing thoughts. I don't like it at night. I don't like it at night at all. Like, I wake up in the middle of the night to turn the movie back on. I've done a lot of work and it's still there, but I recognize what it is now. Like, I'm like, it's anxiety and my mind races and I don't want it to. I just want to go to sleep. And so, but that seven definitely deals with this. The seven with the six, it probably shows itself a little bit clearer than with the seven with an eight wing, the realist. The seven with the eight, they're passionate and adventurous, strong, quick-minded, creative, loving. So they're caring people too. They're usually fun to be around, all those things. I think the difference, Julie, too, sometimes is that seven with the eight, that's strong, because you're strong too, but I think mine feels more of a bite and yours feels more of humor.
Yeah. Yeah. That self-deprecating piece where I'll just kind of, yeah, I shield it. Now I can be pushed into my eight a little bit sometimes. It happens very rarely, but I can be pushed there. And it surprises even me when I do get pushed there, because typically I am sidestepping and being very cautious and gentle with how I talk to people or engage in a situation. And my mom will even bring that up a lot. She's like, hey, you're better at saying things, so can you say this to your brother? And usually I'm like, no, but good suggestion.
No, but here's how you can do it. Yeah. I think that passionate, adventurous, strong, quick-minded, for sure. I have notes in my phone because my mind is constantly going of all the things we could do. I think I drive everybody crazy around me because I'm like, oh, we're going to do this next and we're going to do this next. But when I put my feet on the ground, I can make things happen. If I live in that quick-minded, you know, fantasy space, then I have a lot of ideas, but we're not making anything happen. And I'm usually irritable that nothing's getting done at that point. And so that's, I think, some of that just irritability, frustration can come out in that when I've not kind of harnessed the creativity and I've just let it run wild.
I know a lot of people love HGTV and all the building shows and stuff. I hate the idea of taking something apart for 6 months and putting it back together. Like, that gives me so much anxiety that I would literally rather live with the ugly kitchen than deal with the ramifications of taking it apart and starting over. Which, that sounds crazy because that would be a great thing. But some people love that. Like, I had a friend who redid like 6 houses with her husband and they loved the chaos and they didn't mind living with dust. And I would have gone crazy.
I'd just be mean to everybody.
Yeah, I would be mean and angry.
Because even when my house gets messy, like, the twins were at the lake for the weekend. And so they came home and dropped all their stuff everywhere. And I was so irritable last night. And I had said to my husband, like, I'm so irritable. I'm like, oh, and I looked around and I was like, it's because it looks like chaos.
Right.
There was a lot of chaos when they were all little, 4 littles. It was chaos. And I don't want to go back to any of those feelings. And I don't like anything that even feels like it could teeter into some of that space. So I don't like when they're fighting. I don't like any of it.
That fighting puts me over the edge.
It does. Yeah. And it makes me, I don't like the way it makes me feel. And so sometimes siblings fight. So sometimes I have to just leave the room or go for a walk and let them hash it out. Because I want to just stop it all. And I want to shut everybody's mouths. Like, that's it. And I think I did that for a really long time. And I shut my kiddos' mouths and probably emotions down because I couldn't handle them. And so today that's different and we're doing work around it and all those things, trying to hold space for them to be them. But part of that is that seven, you know, like upbeat, happy, positive. I don't want to deal with those feelings.
All right. So seven or eight with a seven wing, once again, is going to look really different. So tell us about that.
The Maverick, they're extroverted, enterprising, energetic, materialistic. They're interested in power. An eight with a seven looks and feels completely different than an eight with a nine. Now, you can feel the power of both of them. Okay. I can feel the strength of an eight typically when they walk into a room. I can feel it. I can feel the shift of the change that happens. But with an eight with a seven, it's like, hey, we can do all the things. Let's go. Let's all the, you know, it's like, it's bubbly and it is usually exciting, dynamic, engaging. It can feel overpowering. It can feel a lot of things too. Like, so there's like this healthy side of it and then the not so healthy side of it. It could feel like dominating, like they're going to dominate the environment. So you can feel that too from this eight with a seven. But when they're healthy, it's fun. It's a lot of energy. It's fun. They're moving pieces fast. An eight with a nine looks different. They're the bear. So they're more mild-mannered, gentle, receptive. They're people-oriented and they're quietly strong. So they, again, are going to have that little bit of mystery to them as well. And so you're not necessarily going to hear them voice everything, but you're going to feel what they expect, if that makes sense. So I have a friend, she's married to an eight with a nine wing. And she said, it's like, he doesn't walk on the floor. He walks in the floor. Like he takes up that space. So even if he isn't saying a lot, you can feel it and you know the expectation. I worked with an eight with a nine wing and people would call him Oz. Like he's the one behind the curtain making it happen, but he doesn't have to be out front, where an eight with a seven is more out front making it happen.
All right. So the nine with the one wing is obviously going to look different than the one with the nine wing. I'm really curious to hear this. A lot of people think they're nines. We've talked about that before. Everyone's like, oh, I'm a nine. I'm like, you're probably not a nine. There's only a few nines. So it's interesting to hear, what is this nine with the one wing versus what is the nine with the eight wing? So go ahead.
So again, these two look pretty different too. So the nine with the one wing, the dreamer, they are orderly, idealistic, critical. They're emotionally controlled and they're often compliant as well. So that critical piece means that they could be a little bit more judgmental or be more strict in their standards, or like, this is exactly how things should go. So we'll see some of that one tendency, perfectionism, fall into this one. But that emotionally controlled piece is, I'm going to suppress my feelings because I don't like chaos. A little bit like what we just talked about with the seven. That's why sometimes the sevens and nines mistype. But I don't want to have to feel all the feelings. And so I'm going to just suppress them and keep going. So I'm going to kind of even numb out, check out to some degree, with, you know, with a nine with a one wing. Cause I want to kind of maybe live in my head a little bit more. You know, I just don't want to have to deal with the chaos that's around.
Right.
Now, the nine with an eight looks quite a bit different. They're the comfort seekers. So they're more outgoing. They are assertive. They can be more outspoken. They can be dismissive. They can even be anti-authoritarian. Like, I don't want people telling me what to do. I don't want to be held down. I don't want... you know, I don't want to be controlled, because they seek autonomy as well. And so you'll see a difference here where they'll kind of push against, where the nine with the one will just kind of go away. The nine with an eight might push against trying to assert themselves a little bit.
I love that. Thank you so much for going over those with us. And like we said to our listeners before, listen to this again. And like, hear little clue words for yourself. And it just really is so helpful. And it's amazing how each wing affects each personality so, so differently.
And it's really about motivation. Like, behind all of this, it is about what is the motivating message for each one of those Enneagram numbers. And then how are they using the wings to help them keep themselves safe, get love, and get their needs met. And so when we're looking at that, it really is these patterns that you learned. And just so you guys know, like, we learn patterns, but we can also unlearn patterns and we can learn new patterns. So this is not who we are. These are just ways that we are showing up in the world. And if there's things that are working for you, awesome, let's keep going. And if there's things that are just not working for you, that's where we'd love to help you guys pivot towards, you know, towards growth. What does it look like to let go of some things that are just holding you back? And that's the beautiful work of self-awareness.
And thank you for joining us today. Join us next time as we continue our conversation about the Enneagram and what it means for your relationships. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single episode. And while you're there, we'd love for you to leave a review. Your kind words help others find the show. For more great Enneagram content, resources, and individual coaching, you can visit enneagramwithjb.com. And while you're there, make sure to order Jackie's newest book, The Enneagram and Your Marriage. We'll see you next time on Enneagram with JB.